Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The historic Liberty Theater in downtown Astoria, Oregon, opened in 1925. It's had an illustrious and interesting past, full of ups and downs and lots of amazing stories involved with the Liberty Theater. Today, to talk about the Liberty's past, present, and future, there's a very exciting thing going on right now at the Liberty Theater that you can participate in and be part of. Today I have in the studio Rosemary Baker Monahan. She's the executive director of the Liberty Theater. Hi, Rose.
Good morning.
Very glad to have you here on this last Wednesday of the year.
I can't believe it went by so fast.
It did. We're bidding farewell to 2011 and welcoming 2012. And for those who people listening who aren't familiar with you, please tell us a little about yourself.
Oh, my goodness. I'm the executive director of the Liberty Theater. I have been since November of 2005. Prior to that, I served on the board of directors. I came on board in 2000. At the time, I was mayor of Seaside, and as mayor, they invited me to come on to the board of directors. So that's how I ended up here, and I've enjoyed every minute. It's a fabulous job.
And it's a full-time. You're there all the time because there's always something happening, it seems, at the Liberty.
Yeah, I'm actually the only full-time employee. We have Larry Bryant. He's the technical director. He's three-quarter time. And Tom Stanley, wonderful Tom in the box office, he's part-time. And then everything else at the Liberty is done with our fabulous volunteers. I was talking with someone this morning about how volunteers really kind of float this town, and they truly do. Without them at the Liberty, we wouldn't be able to open our doors.
Exactly. So. Volunteers really make this community work, no question about it. So for those people who, I don't know if people have been in the Liberty Theater, if you haven't, it's definitely something you want to do because it is stunning. And but let's talk a little bit about the past of, let's talk about the Liberty Theater. When it first opened in 1925, what was happening then?
Well, actually, the building that was on that site prior to the Liberty Theater was the Weinhardt Hotel, and it was billed as fireproof. So, of course, it burned in the fire in 1922, which I think is kind of interesting. They rebuilt the Liberty Theater on that site. There was a Liberty Theater, a little black box, not hugely ornate, little theater called the Liberty Theater. They did that a lot after around the time of World War One, where Fulio's is now. But they built the Liberty Theater of today on the site of the Weinhardt Hotel. And it's an atmospheric theater, what's called an atmospheric theater. In our case, built to transport you to a Venetian palace. So it's Italianate architecture. Everyone who's been inside, you know, has marveled at the wonderful paintings upstairs and all of the decor. It's stunningly beautiful. It rivals those concert halls that you would find in Europe and Vienna.
And in fact, the Liberty Theater, it's not just little hometown theater. It is known internationally.
It is, indeed. We've had photographers come over from England to take pictures of the interior to put in their books, for example. Yeah.
And it opened as a natural movie theater.
It opened as a vaudeville house, Class A.
Oh, a vaudeville house.
But it was the 20s, so it quickly became a movie palace. And then, you know, with talking pictures. And then it became, you know, it kind of followed the march of history and the march of culture by the 70s. And then by the 90s, it was a triplex. Some people may remember. Had big plywood boxes that hung over the balcony about 12 feet. You sat inside the box and watched a movie. There were two of those upstairs, and then there was a main screen downstairs. And from what I understand, it had been 50 years since anyone had seen the Proscenium Arch, which is that archway that frames the stage.
Did people realize that it was this architectural treasure? I mean, even when it was a triplex?
I think they kind of forgot because it was all covered up with plywood. I know that when we took the plywood off the windows in the lobby, people hadn't remembered they were there, and only one of the panes was broken. We were very fortunate because when they put plywood over everything and painted it all those bright colors, they didn't really chop out what was underneath. So there was some restoration, repairing, and things like that, but all the key elements were still there. We were very lucky.
So then it was in disrepair.
Oh, yes.
And then at what time did suddenly this idea that we should restore this grand, magnificent building, when did that all happen?
Well, in the early 90s, it came up for sale. And the community was kind of concerned about that. And there was a group of business folks who got together and purchased the building and held it about 4 years for us so that the 501c3, the nonprofit organization, could kind of get legs under them, get their nonprofit status, start raising some money. and launched the project to buy the building and to restore it. And the city of Astoria, right from the very beginning, was key in that with the Astor East Urban Renewal. They're the ones who helped us buy the building.
And the restoration, then here you have this building. It's plywood is everywhere. You know it's this treasure. But how much and how long and what did you decide to do first?
Well, the first thing we had to do was, we called it phase one. It was kind of shore up the foundation because, you know, we're all on fill and we have the chair walls. And so there's about 11 inches of concrete around the bottom. You can't run underneath the building like you used to be able to under the pilings and that around town because we had to shore up the foundation, rewiring, replumbing, those sorts of things. And that was about $3 million. That included restoring the business spaces because part of our mission is as an economic driver. So we restored the spaces like Columbia Travel and the Supper Club and Jonathan's and Lucy's Books and Ardell's Beauty Salon and Rusty Cup. I'm leaving someone out. and got businesses in there, healthy businesses in there and going. And that they lease from us, so that gives us a little steady income as well. And then the second part, we'd, you know, raised and spent $3 million and nobody really could tell. So we needed to do all things pretty inside. We did the elevator, we did the McTavish room, we restored the theater, we replaced the seats, you know, all those things. And then got to the point in 2005 where we needed to get open for business and generate an additional revenue stream to help us stabilize. So that's what we did.
So if people haven't been in the Liberty Theater, what will you find there? How many seats are there? What, tell us about the stage, and then tell us about the McTavish Room. People may not know what that is.
Okay. Well, there's 665 seats and 10 wheelchair spaces and 30 standing room, which we have used on occasion. And then up off the balcony, off the mezzanine, is the McTavish Reception Room, which is about 33 feet wide and 70 feet long, and it's gorgeous. The restoration of the theater itself had to be done by craftsmen because it's not a cookie cutter kind of theater. It's artists have created what's inside there, so we had to use artisans and craftsmen to do the restoration. And when they saw what we were doing as a community, they were thrilled. And so they duplicated some of the pieces that you find, like the pooties and the Lady Liberty head and the columns capitals and all of that sort of Italianate architecture. They duplicated some of that for us and made pieces of it and donated it to us so we could make the McTavish Room look similar to the theater. And so the craftsmen, just because they were thrilled that we were, you know, saving this building, donated about $15,000 worth of that sort of art to change the decor of the McTavish Room. So it's a beautiful room.
And there are wedding receptions there. There are dinners, private parties, all kinds of things happen in the McTavish Room.
Oh, pretty much. Weddings, conferences, high school proms, class reunions, anniversary parties, things connected with concerts. You can have a conference in the theater and have a breakout session in the McTavish Room. It's a multifaceted building, and you kind of, we're part of where we're headed with phase three is trying to grow that, what I call daytime business, so that we can support and become economically stable as both a facility and a company, so that supports our ability to bring in more of these concerts and performing arts things. So
phase one and phase two are completed, and mm-hmm. now, and here we are before the end of the year, this is an opportunity, 501c3, if you want to give some of your resources, financial resources to the Liberty Theater, let's explain phase three and how people can be involved with that.
Okay, well, we're starting phase three. Upstairs, a lot of people thought we were finished when we got all things pretty opened and open for business. But it's a big building. We actually own the whole block pretty much. There's no street in between our block and the next block, but in essence, we own the whole block. Along 12th Street, above Charlie's, above Jonathan's, above Lucy's, above Columbia Travel, is an area about the same size, well, actually a little bigger than the McTavish Room. And wrapping around the back along Duane, there's an upstairs. So what we've designed is another room on the 12th Street portion of it that's roughly the same size as the McTavish Room, but it's going to be divisible by three. There'll be operable walls, it'll be soundproofed, and the floors will be sprung for dancing. So we'll end up with classrooms, rehearsal rooms, meeting rooms, another reception room if we'd like it. It'll have a full catering kitchen. We don't have a full catering kitchen with the McTavish Room. And the issue with the kitchen and the McTavish Room is you have to take all of the stuff for the event through the event to get to the kitchen. So it's kind of more of a prep kitchen. So we'll have a full catering kitchen. We'll have a boys' restroom with a changing area and a girls' restroom with a changing area and some storage for tables and chairs and things like that. And then around the back along Duane, we'll have two commercial leasable spaces for like offices or, you know, it's kind of a nice fit if it's like a dance company or a music academy to have their office there, do their rehearsal in this new room, and then perform at the Liberty. So there's some nice partnerships that we're hoping will come out of it.
And also, I think it fits so well to have extra conference spaces available and meeting spaces available because the Estuary Warrenton Chamber, through the Lower Columbia Tourism Council, is promoting Estuary as a meeting venue, the entire town, as a venue for people to come here for conferences, stay at different hotels, and meet. And they want to meet in unique spaces. They want to meet in someplace special, not just some big, you know, box kind of thing. And so meeting at the Liberty Theater, what a great thing for groups.
Well, we, in essence, become a kind of a central hub for those conferences. They can do their plenary session, their big session in the theater, because we can seat 665. They can do like a poster session in the McTavish Room, and then we would have three smaller meeting rooms for breakout. Put that together with a room at the Maritime Museum and what they're doing with the depot. Put that together with the Banker Suite, the Hotel Elliott, the red building and the loft, and then you have hotels on each end of town, and you have the trolley. It's kind of a different kind of conference, and you get to be part of the community. You get to experience the people that live here, eat in the restaurants. You even get rained at, not your usual conference.
That's right, because a lot of conferences are held in one place where there's one, and then you go. You're in a windowless room. You're going to all these educational forums and seminars all day long, and you really never get a sense of where you are. Yeah. And if anything, Estuary has this great sense of place. In fact, last week OPB was in the Liberty Theater.
They were
talking about Estuary as a community, and you can actually I think hear that online on their website in their archives. But and really just they were stunned by how magnificent the Liberty was.
Right.
And so this is a way for people, you're right, coming with large groups to really meet all over town, and then they would support the merchants all over town.
Right. They call it pure character. It's part of the tagline for the Chamber's committee, Lower Columbia Tourism Council. Come experience and meet the folks, because it's real. We're real. It's a real town. It has a real downtown. It's a working waterfront. Yeah, it's not brass.
It's not
glass.
A big convention center. Yeah. It's meet Estuary. When you meet in Estuary, you get so much more. You get this, you know, because people are looking for that authenticity, something that's different, that's unusual in today's world.
Right.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today, my guest is Rosemary Baker Monahan. She's the executive director of the Historic Liberty Theater, which opened in 1925 in downtown Estuary, and hosts the Estuary Music Festival in the summer. I mean, they're just things going on. How do you keep track of everything that's happening, Rose?
Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
Yeah, we are, we do 178 event days a year. And as I told you, we're pretty lean on staffing. So about 20 to 25% of it are things that I bring in. Like I'll contract with the artists, or I'll hire the group, or set up the show. The rest are rentals, where people have come and want to use the facility for a wedding, a conference, a prom.
So it goes both ways. You reach out to people and say, oh, I'd love to have this group play.
Right.
And then other times people come to you and they say, oh, we'd like to play. Or we're in Portland. And Judy Collins loved playing at the Liberty Theater.
That was fun. She was part of our season. We've had 5 years where I've packaged a group of anywhere from 6 to 10 shows together for season tickets. Part of what
I do. There's a great Christmas gift, by season tickets.
Absolutely.
Theater,
gift certificates, season tickets. We have some ornaments for sale and things like that. Yeah. part of what I have to do is not only bring in a little something for everyone, and I have to make sure that it's world class and that it's really fun, but because part of what we do is rent out to promoters or musicians to use the theater, I have to kind of balance out throughout the year. So if a promoter is bringing in a lot of country shows, for example, I won't book very many Liberty shows that are country shows because we have those already and someone's bringing them in. So I'll balance it out. So like we have the Astoria Music Festival that is a separate 501c3 who basically rents the theater for 2 weeks and puts on this world-class classical opera music performance. So I don't bring a lot of classical stuff in where it's a Liberty show. I'll bring one or two off season from the summer, just so the people who love classical music, you know, don't have to wait till June every year to hear some in that beautiful building. But I won't do a lot of it because we already have that. So I kind of do a bit of balancing as well as just bringing in some things that I think we would sell well and people would enjoy, like Judy Collins, like the Coates. In December, that was a fabulous family concert, and everyone just had a blast.
And there are free concerts and things at the Liberty too, which is great. So on this restoration, now let's talk about the financial piece of that, because this, you have an opportunity. People can have, there are matching funds. Let's talk a little bit about how, for those of you listening, and you need to make some year-end donations.
Yes.
Your accountant says this is a good time to do that. Let's talk about what happens when people get involved with phase three of the restoration of the Liberty Theater.
It's a fabulous opportunity. We, the Astor East Urban Renewal District has pledged half of the money for this part of the project. But we have until March 7th to match it. There's a benchmark. Once we raise half, we'll get half. And then when we raise the rest, we'll get the other half. But we have until March 7th to raise the entire amount.
So there's a real deadline there. By March 7th, you have to raise a fairly substantial amount of money.
Right. So we've been writing grants, as you can imagine, and we've been fairly successful in getting those grants. One of the grants that we got was from the Ford Family Foundation, and they have given us $75,000, but they have also challenged us to match it. And they want us to match it with community, a reflection of community support for the project. So we can't use the city money, it's not city money, it's urban renewal money. Can't use that to match the Ford family. We have to individuals and companies to match the Ford family. But it actually was really kind of a gift when I was thinking about what they were challenging us to do. Because if someone gives us $25, we're going to match it with Ford Family Foundation money for $25. And then the urban renewal money is going to match both of those because they pledged half of the money.
So you give and it's double. It triples, actually.
$25 can be leveraged into $100. So it's actually a fabulous opportunity for us to make the donation seem even more effective. So there is no donation that's not worth giving. I mean, $5 turns into $20. $1,000 turns into $4,000. So every dollar is significant and it's an important. And the other thing, because we are a 501c3, every gift to the Liberty Theater is eligible as a match with the Cultural Trust. So, for example, if you give $25 to the Liberty Theater and you give $25 to the Cultural Trust, you can take $50 off of your taxable income, directly off your taxable income. That's kind of how that works. And then those donations to the Cultural Trust, a portion of those are given back to the community, and Clatsop County Cultural Coalition gives grants out to musicians and worthy artists and things in our community. So some of that money also comes back to Clatsop County.
How are you getting the word out? Because this is a really exciting thing, but you must feel, I mean, as executive director, you must feel, I mean, really excited and also, oh my God,
March 7th,
right.
Yeah. It's coming up really, really fast. But it's been a really good response because of this leveraging, because you know, $25 turns into $100. People feel like that's just really neat. I can make a difference here. And you really can make a difference.
And there probably will be some fundraisers. I imagine there'll be letters being sent out, probably some notices in the paper. I actually read a piece about the Liberty Theater in the Oregonian about a month ago. But it was like a Liberty Theater phase three, fabulous. And people say, isn't that great that you've done that? No, yeah. We're in the process of doing it.
Yeah. Well, the Ford grant arrived the day before Thanksgiving. And so we're only a week and a half into the community campaign portion of it to match that money. And we've already raised $18,000. It's amazing to me how fabulous this community is.
Well, people really care about preserving this. I mean, because, on the OPB show, Think Out Loud last week, I think Carol Newman was talking about the fact that when visitors come here from the cruise ships or whatever, and they see the theater and they say, oh, we used to have one like this and we tore it down.
Yeah.
Because it really is this hub, as you talked about. And what is it that you think the community loves the most? I mean, are there special programs people call and say, oh, please, will you do this? How does it engage the community? How do you see that it works?
I'll just reference that Coates concert. It's kind of a Christmas carol-y kind of show. They were just singing all the songs you remember, and it was fun, and they were bringing people up out of the audience to participate in some of their songs. I asked the Seaside High School jazz choir if they would open for the Coates. Some of those students who are seniors now remember seeing the Coates at the Liberty when they were in the sixth grade. So they were thrilled to be opening for them. The performers of the Coates were excited to work with them, and they met in the green room and had their little artist-to-artist conversations and talked about singing a cappella and all of those sorts of things. Then they performed on stage for their families and friends. And then the Coates concert happened, and the audience, it just made them feel good. I mean, everyone kind of came in, oh, it's Christmas is almost here, and I'm just tired. And
not in the spirit.
It's been a long fall. Yeah, bah humbug. And they left there with smiles on their faces, and there were standing ovations, and everyone it just made them feel good. That's part of what we do.
You know, in difficult times and challenging times, we really need live theater. We need music. Yeah. We need the arts more than ever.
Yeah.
And I think I just heard on the radio recently that all plays, all theater, every production in North Korea had been stopped because of the and so it's like, no, this is, even during the war, this is what we need. We need to have this to create this joyful spirit that we, you know, whether it's a holiday or at any time.
Mm-hmm. I asked my mom, when I was so fortunate to be hired for this job, 7 years ago now, oh my goodness, I asked my mom, she was a little kid during World War II, and, you know, how big Shirley Temple movies were at the time. And, you know, I thought she was cute and adorable, but I didn't get it. I just didn't get what all that was all about. So I asked her, I said, Mom, what was that all about with Shirley Temple? And she said, it was 2 hours where you could go in a theater and you didn't have to think about the war, and you could have hope that something better was coming. And she said, we needed it. And I think there is a role for that with performing arts centers such as ourselves and theaters across the country. We can challenge people to think. We can present new perspectives. We can help us understand each other, all of our different cultures and perspectives. But we can also give you 2 hours where you can come into the theater and you can feel better and forget about your cares.
You can go to Venice, right in downtown Astoria. You go to Liberty Theater and you are in a Venetian palace.
That's right.
Indeed. And I think it does influence I think it's so important to take young people, children. I mean, I don't remember how old I was, but my grandparents took me to see Liberace, of all things, you know, yeah, the candelabra and everything, and an opera. And those things really were like a secret world. It was just mm-hmm. opening up a chocolate box. It was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to do more of that. And you actually have Sing Along with the Sound of Music coming up?
Well, January, we have a lot of things coming up. We have the Arnica Quartet in the McTavish Room. Then we have the Coaster Theater coming up the 14th and 15th to do their production of Annie, Get Your Gun. That's part of our season.
And that's terrific. I saw that at the Coaster Theater, and don't miss it. It is a lot of fun.
Even if you saw it in the Coaster Theater,
that's right.
You could
see it in the Liberty.
It's different in the different venues. It's a mm-hmm. different play. Well, as you know, every play is different every night because it's live theater. Then we have on Sunday the 22nd, I think it is, the sing-along version of The Sound of Music, so you can come as your, I mean, apparently some people come dressed as characters in the movie, and there are theaters across the country doing this where people are just having a blast because they love to sing all those songs. And then at the end of the month in January, we have the Newport Symphony coming with David Ogden Stiers, a little bit of Shakespeare, some classical music. But we have one new concert in January, which has just come together. Our own Israel Nebiker, who's part of Blind Pilot, is going to perform with the Portland Cello Project on January 20th. It's a Friday, and we're dedicating all the proceeds to that concert towards this project, this restoration project. So the Portland Cello Project, they'll be playing Israel's music with him, and he'll be singing, and tickets are on sale this morning, actually.
So, oh, this is brand new, hot off the press.
New. Yeah, 7:30, wow. January 20th.
All right. That's well, and for people to say, I want to give a concert and benefit as a benefit to Liberty Theater, because without right. it, we aren't going to have all these incredible opportunities.
Right.
Do you have a favorite thing over the years? You've seen so many. You've seen these productions. Is there something that stands out in your mind that?
Gosh, they're all great.
They're all different.
Yeah, they're all different. They're all great. Judy Collins, of course, was a highlight. It just happened this fall. And it's kind of neat because she fell in love with us too, you know.
She did. She said she could live here. She actually said I could live in Astoria.
And it was neat to see the audience interacting with her. There was a point in the second show. Each show was different. She only repeated one song and she was a delight to work with. There was one point where she stumbled over the words of a song and someone from the audience generously gave her the next word and she thanked them twice in the middle of the song. It was that kind of interaction, standing ovations, people in the audience crying and because they were remembering things from the 60s that made them happy. And I mean, it was a great show.
And you know what? I went to one of the ABBA, it was a, you know, the ABBA group, faux ABBA, but you know, okay,
yeah.
They had the ABBA
impersonators.
Music. Impersonators. But I don't know, for some reason I wound up with it there and it was, and people were bobbing in their wheelchairs. They were rocking and happy and joyful. Live theater, there's nothing like it. I know that we have lives, we have the computers and the everything now that people can watch. Nothing like going to the theater, though.
Shangri-La Chinese acrobats in the balcony, small kids with their heads on that, you know, their chins on the railing, just mesmerized by the acrobats on stage.
Exactly.
And actually, because our stage is only 24 feet wide, some of those tumbling runs, people in the audience were a little excited that they would stop.
Yeah. Are you going to land in my lap now? Well, we only have another minute or two. So, Rose, how can people reach you? What would you like people to know now? Obviously, this is the end of the year appeal for phase three of the restoration at the Liberty Theater. Anything else people should
We're just know? Grateful for everyone's support, hopeful that they'll give us some donations to help us match these funds so that we can build this next project. And every single dollar is significant. So you can send it to the theater. You can call the box office when the box office is open, and they can take a donation. You just drop it in the mail, you know, any way that you can.
Lots of ways to give and be part of this, because the Liberty Theater is really one of Astoria's great successes.
Yes.
It truly is. Yeah. And something that people are proud of and talk about, not only just, you know, in the state, in the Northwest, but as you say, internationally now. So thank you for all the work. You're just a firecracker. You're just working all the time, Rose, for the Liberty Theater. So thank you for everything you do.
Oh, you're welcome. It's the best job in the world. Are you kidding?
That's
You're
true.
You're running a theater. I remind people, you know, as a community, we have the keys to a theater. We should have a little fun.
That's right. And it's on, and it is the cruise ship. People get to see it, and so it's a treasure. So let's all support the Liberty Theater. And maybe one of your New Year's resolutions is to take a child, take yourself, take someone, take yourself, go to a live performance at the Liberty Theater. That's a great New Year's resolution.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Rose. And I want to thank all of you who listened to this program. I want to thank Kathleen Morgain, who's been the engineer, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, Happy New Year. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, focus on those good things, expand on them, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, this now moment.